Let's read 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And then let's read this confession that's going to put up on the screen from 1 Corinthians 13. Because since we found out that God is love, and we're his sons, his children, so we should be what he is as believers. So if he's love, we're loves because we are a believer. All right? Let's say, I am a believer. A believer is patient. Hold it. Come on, let's say it like we mean it. Okay? A believer is patient. A believer is kind. A believer isn't envious, doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. There's no arrogance in the believer. A believer is never rude, crude, or indecent. A believer is not self-absorbed. A believer isn't easily upset. A believer doesn't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice. But truth, yes, truth, is a believer's delight. A believer puts up with anything and everything or anyone that comes along. Let's say that one again. A believer puts up with anything and everything or anyone that comes along. A believer trusts, hopes, and endures no matter what. Hallelujah. Say, I am a believer. See, it's important that we understand that. It's nice to go around and say, well, we have to walk in love. But we need to understand what the characteristics of love is. And if you're easily upset, if you're rude, crude, or indecent, then you're not walking in love. If you're easily upset, it's not because they got on your nerves, because you're not walking in love. One of the most amazing, life-changing truths that I've learned as a believer was the very first thing that I learned from Pastor Clinton. He said, one right that you have that nobody can take away from you is the right to form your own attitude about anything. He said, somebody could hit you in the head with a baseball bat, you don't have to get mad about it if you don't want to. And it made me start thinking, why am I always getting angry? Why do I want to do this? See, for me, that was the first incident or instance of my mind being renewed. Because if that didn't happen, I'm not standing here in front of you today. See, please understand this. There is nothing that you encounter as a believer. There is no teacher, you know, God's man or God's woman, that you just happen to come across. They're there for a purpose to speak things into your life so that you grab a hold of them and renew your mind. See, just because Pastor Clinton said that, I could have chosen not to receive it because I just want to stay angry. Well, the truth is I didn't want to stay angry. I didn't even like being angry. I liked the results of my anger, which was people left me alone. That's what it was. When I found out that I could be just as happy and just as content no matter what anyone does, I can't tell you how freeing that was for me. And don't think for a moment that people didn't test me to find out. They did. It's like when they realize, he's not going to hit us. You know, No, I start hitting the gates of hell with prayer for them. And I got the same thing. They left me alone, and they changed in the process. But if I didn't receive that life-changing word from Pastor Clinton, if I didn't let it transform my mind, I would have been thinking the same way. And so will you if you don't let the word renew your mind. That's why we're still in this series called Renewing the Mind, because Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think, because your life is controlled by your thoughts. By your thoughts. So let's make this confession. Okay. Can you put that other one up for me? All right, let's read it. My personal transformation requires radical change in my life and lifestyle. Nothing in life remains the same because change is essential to growth. Growth is essential to life, and life is the reason for being. I can change my address, my job, my wardrobe, and my friends. I can even change my name, but my life will not transform until I change the way I think. Amen. How many of you believe that? Yes, we have to change the way we think. Let me ask you a question. Stand still while I say it. How does a body move? A body. It's not a trick question. Moves in unison. I want you to just think about that for a moment. As I read some verses from 1 Corinthians 12, okay? We'll start at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18, but now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. So you need to know that we are one body, the body of Christ, and God placed every member in the body as it pleased him. Just like when he formed these bodies, he placed every member in the position that would please him. I'm so glad he was pleased with having my arms where he put them. Now there are many members, verse 20, yet one body. Verse 25, very important, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we are what? The body of Christ, and it's composed of many members. But we're one body. So how does the body move? How would it look? What would happen if my right leg did what I wanted it to and my left leg did what you wanted it to? Okay. How would that work? All right. Because, see, that way we're acting like we're individuals and not one. Because every member of my body has to move in the same direction that my brain tells it to move. If it doesn't, I'd be diagnosed with some type of deformity. Because that's what they call it when your body doesn't function the way it should. Well, as the body of Christ, even though we're many, we need to understand that our movements should always be in unison. Whether they see me, whether they see you, Eric, whether they see you, Marie, or you, Elder Geneva, they should all see the same thing. Christ. Because we're his body. And we have to understand that we're called to be imitators of God, and if we're imitators of God, we're imitators of Christ. We're imitators of the Godhead. And that should be seen in the body, period. Regardless of who the member is, or where the member is, or what's going on with the member, we're to be imitators of God. And we have to change the way we think about that. Because when we get to that place where we always realize, I'm an imitator of God, I'm never going to be stressed out, because God is never stressed out. I'm never going to be short with anyone, because God's not going to be short with anyone. I'm going to love everyone, because God so loved the world that he gave. So I'm going to love and give also, because I understand that I am an imitator of Christ. And I need to, as we were in praise and worship, God was downloading some things. And last night, I had every intention of sitting down, doing some reading, doing some studying, getting quiet, finding out from God what he wanted. And I wound up looking at the inside of my eyelids. Then I wound up with my face buried in the couch pillow. Okay. And I opened my eyes and I said, no, let me get going. So I said, let me just do some channel surfing. I'm going to catch, see what games were on. And one of the things that I don't watch, and I really don't watch anymore, are boxing matches. Because for some reason, now I just can't take the violence anymore. I used to like boxing matches, movies where you got shot up, sliced up, all that. I just can't watch it. And just the thought of it, I just can't watch it. But when I was flipping through the sports channels, there was this boxer coming out, and the way people were talking about him, and I said, why are they ragging on him like that? And his idol is Floyd Mayweather. And they're saying, no, he imitates Floyd Mayweather, and he was undefeated, and he had all these knockouts, and his nickname was The Problem. And they're like, nobody's ever been able to solve the problem. He came out, and I watched him come out, and I'm like, ooh, I'd never seen a boxer that arrogant before. And some of the things and gestures he was making, I'm like, he's a boxer, but he's definitely not a professional, And I said, even Floyd Mayweather doesn't act like this, but he's imitating. He thinks he's imitating Floyd Mayweather. Well, he wound up getting beaten to a pulp. And when they interviewed his opponent after, they said, what'd you think? He said, no problem. See, the reason he ran into problems and the reason we run into problems is there is a difference between imitating someone and acting like them. There's a difference. See, he thought he was acting like Floyd. He was doing the same motions, and so he thought, but he never spent time in fellowship with Floyd Mayweather, never allowed himself to be trained by him, never really studied all of his movements. So he knew some superficial things. But when it got right down to it, when you watched The Problem fight, you didn't see Floyd Mayweather out there. Well, it's the same principle around folks that win the lottery. With most of them, in very few years, they're bankrupt. Why? They got a lot of money. They acted like they had a lot of money. Okay, but they couldn't imitate folks that earned a lot of money because they haven't studied finances. They haven't, been a protege of anyone involved in finances. So they don't know all of the intricate details. They see superficial things, cars, houses, clothes. But they don't see the things that go along with it so they can maintain. Pastor Clinton used to always say, and I believe him, he said, hey, you can take all the money in the world and give it to those people that don't have it, And in, what do you say, and in 2 weeks, the people that have it will have it back again. Okay? Well, it's the same way, folks, with Christ. We say we're imitators of God. But if we hadn't taken the time to really study, really fellowship, really be discipled, then we may act like we're Christians, but we're not going to imitate God, because when you imitate someone, you imitate, you're doing the things they do to the most minute detail. That's why the good impersonists, is that the word, impersonists? People that do impressions. Impressionists, yeah, that's right, thank you. They don't just change their voice, they do all the mannerisms. You know, if they just change their voice, you know, it might be funny, but when they do all the mannerisms, even the walk and the way they move their shoulders, and well, how can they do that? Because they took the time to study them in great detail. Great detail. They'll even know how they breathe, because they are imitators. And we're called to be imitators. Look at John 20. See, one of the reasons this is so important, there are many, no way we can hit them all in the next 2 years. Okay. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you." Listen to this. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, we are called, we are all called together for a specific purpose. All of us. To be just like Jesus here on the earth. And when Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me," he was actually giving us some very specific instructions. Look at Luke 4:18. We'll just do this just to kind of capsulize, just so we'll understand a little bit of how God sent Jesus. Familiar passage. Luke 8. Find it, same one over in Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." Matter of fact, I'm in the Amplified. "He has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." And he said, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you." So that means the expectation is that we're going to do the same things that Jesus is doing and has done. Because he sent us the same way God sent him. I started looking at that. He said, "As the Father has sent me." As means in the same proportion or to the same degree. So he said, Jesus said, "To the same degree that Father sent me, even so I sent you." Sent means to order one to go to an appointed place. "The Father has ordered me to an appointed place. Even so," that means likewise. In the same manner. So in the same manner, I send you. I found that word send very interesting, because it doesn't mean the same as sent. Sent means you order one to an appointed place. Send means you thrust or insert them there. So Jesus said, the same way I was ordered, now I'm just inserting you. He said, "You're there." Bang. But he sent us, he placed us there to accomplish the same thing that he was sent to accomplish. Exactly the same thing. Well, in order for us to accomplish the same thing, we have to do the same thing. We have to know the same thing. That's why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. That is, it encourages us to use it. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Why? Because we have to do the same thing. Now, several years ago, I went to see Dr. Rose, and we started talking about vitamins and supplements, and he was telling me why it was better to spend more money to get whole food supplements instead of those, you know, supplements that are just chemical reproductions. And me being me, I said, well, why? I mean, the supplement is a supplement is a supplement. He said, not so. He said, hold up your hands. So I did. He said, are they the same? I said, sure. He said, no, they're not. I said, yes, they are. He said, no, they're not. He said, what's on your hand? I said, yeah, thumb and four fingers. He said, right. He said, but they're not in the same order. I'm saying, yes, they are. He said, okay, put one in front of the other. I went like this. I'm like, hey. And I went like this. He said, no, but that's not putting one in front of the other. He said, so he said, that's the basic principle of an isomer. All of the components are there, but they're not in the same arrangement, so you don't get the same result. You know, I can't take my hand and make a backward. If I wanted to do this, I couldn't do that backwards. Because even though all the fingers are, it's because that's not the way they put together. Well, we have to understand that as the body of Christ, we can't be isomers. We have to do things the same way. We have to all be in the same position. In the right position. Even though all of the components are there, if all of the components are not in the right position, we won't be able to accomplish what we were put there, inserted there to accomplish, not because we can't, but because some of us are out of position. And once we're out of position, we're no longer moving in unison like a normal body. They're now deformities in the body because there's some out of position. Different power. It was amazing. He said to me that vitamin K is used to combat cancer. But he said the whole food supplement vitamin K is what's effective. He said there are some isomers that actually feed the cancer. Same components, same atoms, arranged differently, now nourishes instead of destroys. And we have to understand that as the body of Christ, if we're not in the right position, we can do more harm than good. Because we're not in the right position. There's someone that you, Jackie, are supposed to minister to. But if you don't want to do it because you don't think that person is high enough, you want to minister to someone of some stature, what happens to that person? And what happens to the one that was supposed to minister to the person you just bogarted your way into? You know, we have to understand that we have to be in position. If we're going to be imitators of Christ, then we have to do what he did. And he made it very, very clear how he operated. Look at John. Well, first move forward to Ephesians 5. Because I got ahead of this, but I don't want to miss it. So we have to understand every single characteristic of God is in Christ. And because we're in Christ and he's in us, then every characteristic of Christ should be in us, which means every characteristic of God is also in us. Ephesians 5, verse 1, he amplified, says, therefore be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. I've said it many times. Mammals, which we are, learn by imitating. That's why That I think that's how that saying was invented, you know, with children. You know, they don't hear what you say, but they have 20/20 vision with everything that you do. And even though you say don't smoke or don't drink, they watch you smoking and drinking, and the first chance they get, they're going to be puffing and gulping. And you're going to wonder, what happened? I told them not to do it. Yeah, but you showed them that they should. So we have to understand that. See, to be a true example, you must live it out. And that's what Jesus did. He lived it out. And he sent us the same way, so he expects us to live it out. Now let's go to John. A few scriptures here in John. Jesus, speaking to us, said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have, what? Heard of him. That's what he's saying. So if God doesn't say it, I'm not saying it. We have to get to the place where if God's not telling us to say it, then we don't say it either. But no, I just have to tell them. No, you just want to tell them. John 8:38, just the first part. We'll get to the second part in a bit. But Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. In order to see something with someone, that means you must be spending some time in their presence, closely alongside of them, studying their every move. Their every move. So when they move, you move. If they turn to the right, you turn to the right. And you don't ask why, because you are following them. Let's do a quick experiment. Could you help me for a minute? Yeah. Okay. Now you're going to follow me, okay? Right? I see. Good. Did everyone see that?
Yeah.
See? Because if you're following someone, then you're doing exactly what they do. See, he was acting like this instinctively because he's looking at, you know, but if he's following me, then really he's like this. So if I go like this, it's no doubt. As long as he knows his left from his right, which he does. Okay? Thank you. See, when we're following after Christ, we're accurately duplicating his movements. Now, if I'm just sitting back watching and I see him, I may go like this when he's raising up his right hand. I may raise my left. Why? Because I think I'm doing what he's doing. No, I'm looking at him. I'm not following him. If I follow, I got to, it's just like the military. You know, they say you change step. You all get in the, I got to get in the same step with him because he's in step with God. And he sent me the same way. So if I'm in step with Christ, then I'm in step with God. And if I'm in step with God, the world's a better place. Not just for me, but for everybody. Because then that means I'm fulfilling my purpose. As part of the body, I'm doing my part. I'm supporting, I'm holding up. Just like if my legs decided to run off, I just go thunk and I'd be down there on the floor. But my legs are doing what they're supposed to do. My mouth is doing what it is supposed to do. My tongue is doing what it is supposed to do. And because they're working in harmony, I can minister the word to you. But if they stopped doing it, I wouldn't be able to. Not this way. John 12. Amplified Bible. Verses 49 and 50. Jesus said, this is because I have never spoken on my own authority or my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. John 15. verse 9, Amplified Bible. Again, Jesus is telling us, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. That's what he said. He didn't say, I loved you based on how I feel about you today. He said, I love you just as the Father has loved me. Exactly the way the Father loves me, I love you. So what were his instructions to us as God's authorized person? A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another the same way I love you, you love one another. And then he told us why. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. Why? Because you're doing the same thing God did. So when you love one another, some translations say when you keep showing love to one another, we're imitating God. And then people get to see and experience God is love. What's their proof? Us. We're their proof. I like the way the Message Bible says it. Message Bible says, I've loved you the way my Father loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. I started thinking about that. I said, when we're proper imitators of God, people should feel at home in our presence. Even sinners should feel at home, comfortable. Wouldn't have a problem sitting down, talking with us, and more importantly, receiving from us, because it feels like home. It feels right to them. When Jesus went to the well, and the woman was there at the well, I mean, she was shacking up, had been married to 5 different people, and to top it off, she was a Samaritan. And at that time, the Jews didn't have any dealings, really, with the Samaritans. And she knew Jesus was Jewish, and Jesus knew she was a Samaritan. But he still loved her. He still welcomed her. He didn't condemn her. Made her feel worthy. And look what happened. She was able to get delivered. And then went out and told everybody. What would have happened if he took a different tact? And he forgot that God so loved the world that he sent him. See, that's what happens, folks. We say we're imitators of Christ, we're imitators of God, but sometimes we forget that God, the same God that we're imitating, so loved the world that he gave. We don't want to give to the world because they're acting like the world. Well, they can't help it. And we forget. Everybody in here used to act like the world. Because nobody in here was born saved, tongue-talking, Bible-toting. Nobody. Bible says all have sinned and have fallen short of what? But God didn't leave us in that point, in that place. You all remember the account. It's become one of my favorites of Zacchaeus. Because when I understood what happened there, it changed the way I thought about everything. Zacchaeus, what some translations refer to as the chief sinner. And Jesus stopped in his tracks and pointed to him up in the tree and said, I must spend time at your house. And he didn't go and start collecting all his tracks. So I guess then they had scrolls. And get all his prayer warriors together and put them, you guys get around the house and pray while I go inside. We're going to cast all these demons out of these people today. No, Jesus went in fellowship with them. And because Zacchaeus made himself at home in Jesus' love, he stood up and said, I'm going to pay back everything that I've taken. What did he say, 4 times or 7 times? But he did. Jesus didn't say, look, this is what you need to do. No, he just operated in love. And the love itself convicted him. And Zacchaeus' entire household came into the kingdom. All Jesus did was go there and spend time with him. Didn't condemn him. Didn't judge him. John 14. Verse 9, Jesus was speaking to Philip, because Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be good. You know, that's all we need. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And I want, can people say that? You know, after I've been in their presence, can they go and say, I've just seen God? Or I feel like I've been in the presence of Jesus. Just by my actions. Just by the way I speak to them. Not about them. Just because I'm willing to take the time and fellowship with them. You know, that's very significant, folks. Because to get to that place means that we have truly become students of the Word, where we study every facet and compare it to ourselves. And we're the best people to do it. I know me better than anybody. See, I can fool you, but I can't fool me. Because when I look in the mirror, I don't see you. I see me. And so I have to take what Jesus said, I have to take what Jesus did, and I have to put it in front of me and ask myself, do I measure up? And if the answer is no, I have some adjustments to make. I can't expect Jesus you better get in step, because I don't like going that way. No, it doesn't work that way. I have to get in step with him. I'm the one that has to change step. He's already marching to the right cadence. I have to get in step with him if I'm going to be an imitator of God. I can't say anything that I want to say anymore. I can't. I don't always catch myself. But much better than I was. Because to me, at least I'm mindful of it now. Before, I wasn't mindful of it. I was just convinced you were wrong. I mean, that's just the way it was. Okay. But now, no, I have to wait and hear, okay, what is it that I believe I'm hearing God say to me to respond to you or to this situation? I got a call that my nephew probably told you he had to go in the emergency surgery because he had gangrene in his intestines, and doctors weren't expecting him to make it. And you know, you compassion, human compassion always says, "Oh, you got to go up to the hospital." And I started thinking, I said, "Okay, why? What's the purpose?" Now, if I was a surgeon and my specialty was gastroenterology, different story. Okay. But I'm not a medical person. And I'm thinking, what can I do there that I can't do where I am? And so I decided I wasn't going to do anything until God told me. I wasn't going to go unless he told me. And he told me to go, he told me when to go, and he told me what to say. And I went, and I saw him, and I said it, because I'm going to take care of what God wants right away. And he looked at me with tears rolling down his eyes, and he said, Uncle Greg, I just got finished saying to God, I need Uncle Greg to come in and tell me this. He said, then I look up, and you're walking in the door. Because God said go, and God said stay. He's in a nursing home now. He's out of the hospital. He's in a nursing home, and that's I'm waiting for the word from God, because due to the diabetes and his undisciplined lifestyle, he's lost both his legs. So now, rather than learn how to walk with prosthetics, they got him one of those little scooters. So he likes scooting around. I'm like, that's limited. So, but you can have that if that's what you want. I said, I thought you wanted to move around, because he was a performer. I said, I thought you wanted to get back on stage and move around. He said, I don't have any feet. I said, you don't need any feet. I said, all you need to do is what God wants you to do. And I told him about Nick. And God told me when he tells me to go again to see him, to take him a DVD of Nick. Let him see it himself. But we need to understand that either way, either we're going to be an imitator of either the God or a God. We are. We're going to be one or the other. Because remember in that same verse, remember I told you we're going to get back to the end of it, John 8, when Jesus says, I speak that which I've seen with my Father. The end of that verse says, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Okay. And I've been guilty of leaving my Father and going to someone else. Why? Because I was angry. And so I just wanted to. But do you remember we talked about it before in Genesis when mankind was covered, Adam and Eve, they were covered with the glory of God. And when they sinned, what happened to the glory? It just lifted. Okay. Well, God needed to get glory back, because his glory was like proof of his presence. See, because everyone, they saw the glory on Adam and Eve, and when Adam and Eve spoke, it was like God was speaking. But when the glory left, then it was just them, and nobody had to listen to them. You know, that's like us trying to do things without the anointing. You know, you just bumble around through it. Well, God had to get the glory back. So in John 1, we're very familiar with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? In who? That's right, in the Word. And who's the Word? So in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of men. Whoa. We're supposed to be imitators of God, imitators of Christ. In us should be light. And that light should be the light of men. We should be shining in the darkness all of the time. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When folks receive us, guess what they get? Power to become the sons of God. Because when they receive us and we lead them in the confession, they become children of God. But if we're not properly imitating God, imitating Christ, they're not going to receive us. And if they don't receive us, they don't have power. They don't get the power to become sons of God. What happens to them? See, the whole body has to be moving in unison, everybody doing the same thing. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld what? See, glory came back. And they saw it. It says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, when we're true imitators of God, the glory will be all over us. His grace will permeate us to the point where it's visible, almost tangible. But in order for that to happen, like I said a couple of weeks ago, in order for God to get the glory back to earth, the Word had to become flesh. Now, in order for us to operate in that glory and grace, the flesh has to become the Word. You see, that's what has to happen. There has to be that transformation. See, Jesus went from being a spirit to being flesh, to being human. We have to get rid of our humanism and live in the spirit so we can be conveyors of everything that he brought to us. But if we make a choice to just stay in the flesh, they're not going to see our glory because we're not going to be properly imitating God. Because God's not flesh. All of us should be showing his glory and his grace in every situation, because that's what Jesus did and does. He said, to the same degree that Father has sent me, I'm inserting you to that same place that he sent me. I'm thrusting you the same place. And he expects to get the same results. Folks, we have a responsibility as the body of Christ to demonstrate, act like everything that the Bible says the body of Christ should be doing, we should be doing. Everything. Everything. We can start out with Mark's lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. Why? There is an expectation that because we are disciples of Christ, we should do the same, be able to do the same thing that he did. Just like the father of that demon-possessed boy. He didn't go looking for Jesus first off. He took his son to his disciples. Why? He figured, they're his disciples. If Jesus can do it, and they were hand-trained by him, then they should be able to do it also. But say enough, he said, I took them to your boys, and they couldn't do anything. And the Message Bible says it best. It's not to put anybody in the condemnation, but it's just to give you an idea as to why some things may not be working. When the disciples went to Jesus and said, how come we couldn't cast them out? Jesus said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. What does that mean? They weren't yet at the place where they believed that absolutely everything that Jesus told them. There were still some doubts. There were still some wonders. There's probably still some fear, because you're going to encounter things you've never seen before. And, hey, sometimes just your presence, you show up and a little inexperienced demons run right out. They're like, no, let me get out of here now. And there's some that are going to try you to see if you really know who you are. And even that demon, when Jesus called him out, did he come out right away? No, he didn't. He didn't. Said he gnashed the boy about and left him as dead. Most of us would have said, oh man, I'm too late. Jesus' attitude was, I called it out. You can put on the dog and pony show if you want to. But when you're finished, you coming out, buddy. And that's what happens. He came out. Well, his disciples should have been able to do the same thing. Not only did the man expect it, but Jesus expected it also. And he hadn't changed his expectation. The same way Father sent him, he's sending us. I'm out of time. It's good because I'm through. Father, we thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, our desire is to be like you. And we just thank you now that the Holy Ghost will show each of us the areas in which we are not like you and show us how we need to correct it. We are your body. We all should operate and go in the same direction you tell us to go as a body. Each person doing its own special work. That's our heart's desire. And that's what we're striving towards, Lord. We want to be the proper representation of who you are and who God is. We want the world to see your glory operating in and through us. Not because we want to be puffed up, but because our desire is the same as Father's desire, that all men be saved. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.